This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
The Toldos Aharon Rebbe Zatzal used to say over the following Maisa to explain what we're about to learn Be'ez Hashem today. The Toldos Aharon Rebbe used to say, just imagine a person comes to Shamayim after 120 years of living in this world. Person comes to Shamayim and they start to make a judgment. They start to weigh the scales. Where is he holding? In which direction are we going to send him to? And they're weighing the mitzvahs that he did. They're weighing the averas that he might have done. And they're weighing the scales. All of a sudden, comes along this huge double-decker bus, a good London English bus, full of men, women and children. And it puts itself onto the scale of the good side, of the mitzvahs. And this fellow was standing there in front of, you know, all the malachim and everything what's going on over there. And he said, what is this bus? I've never been to England in my life. I don't know who these people are. What is this bus all about? So he said to him, I want to explain to you as follows. This, Rabbeinu, is the introduction to what we're going to be saying, Be'ez Hashem, today, the next couple of weeks as well. He said as follows, you know, one day, it was a nice summer day, middle of the summer. You were walking down the road, minding your own business. And there was a woman on the other side of the street. You didn't look, but the corner of your eye happened to notice the woman that wasn't dressed appropriately. She wasn't dressed 100% covering all the places of her body. And you noticed it at the corner of your eye. And you looked away. You continued to look in the place, in the direction that you were going. And your Yetzer Hara, as it normally does, gets hold of you and says, why don't you look again? Take another look, another glance, only a glance. And you said, no, I'm not interested. And you continued. At that moment of time, exactly at that moment, when you did that action, in an Arab village, there was an Arab who was creating a bomb which was going to be detonated on a packed bus somewhere in the center of Yerushalayim. This Arab was making the final preparations to prepare the bomb. And at that moment, when you decided, no, I'm not going to look, that bomb exploded in the Arab's face and killed him on the spot. You have the direct schus and merit from all those people, men, women and children, that would have been, chas v'sholom le'aleinu, killed on that bus. Why? Because of that one action that you did. Rabbeisai, over the next week, this week, next week, Yemitza Hashem, I want to explain to you something that's very, very important. And by the way, anybody that does miss a share, it's not Kedai, because if you miss a share, you'll miss out on a big chunk. Make sure you are tuned in to TorahAnytime.com. Follow me, you'll get the email, and you won't miss a share. Not Kedai, Rabbeisai. Very, very important. I actually discussed the share, the series of Shiurim, with Agoin Reb Israel Orbach Shlita. And I said to him, maybe we shouldn't discuss these things barabim. You know, we mention certain things, it might ignite certain people's temptations, Yetzer Haras. He said, no, absolutely, it needs to be discussed. It needs to be discussed in public. It's something that people need to hear. So Rabbi, so what I'm going to explain to you and give to you, at least for today, is Chazal. I want to show you what Chazal teach us about looking at the wrong sight. A person watching his eyes, what it means, how bad it actually can be. You know, there's a couple of types of people. You've got some people that are willing to learn. They want to know. Tell me the MS. Give me the truth. Come on, Rabbi. Give me all you got. And you've got people that, you know, don't really want to know. But they want to know. You know what I mean? No, they don't really want to know. But they have this desire to. I wished that I really want to know how to know. I believe that anybody that's sitting here right now, anybody that's watching, who turned onto the shir that says, watching your eyes, and wants to listen to this shir, it means we're halfway there. Like Rabbi Yonah tells us, halfway of the battle is, when you need to get to a high floor, you put the ladder on the side of the building. You didn't climb up yet, but you put the ladder there. So by listening to these shir, we might not be there yet, but we're halfway there. The battle is starting to be won, because we put the ladder on the side. At least let us know what we are dealing with. You know, a lot of people have this time, I've heard this before, Rabbi, it's not negated to me. It's not for me. I don't have these problems. I'm okay. I'm all right. I don't have these issues. I don't have the horrors. What are you speaking about this for? So Rav Shalom Shadron Zatzal once, one time came to Borough Park. He comes to Borough Park and he gives a shiur about Chilul Shabbos. And they, you know, beautiful shiur, fiery shiur, stories, everything. They come up to him and say, Rebbe, great shiur. But like, why do you have to come to Borough Park to speak about Chilul Shabbos? You know, we're all Shomer Shabbos over here. We're all right. So Rishon Sharon said, I want to tell you something. When there's a fire in a house, Chas V'Shalom, you don't only spray the fire, the water on the actual house, but you spray all around, and it stops it from spreading. So even though a person might believe that he's not really involved in these sorts of things, he doesn't have these issues, he may believe that. So if that's, even if it's true, we have to spray the water everywhere. What we have to do is we have to make sure that the fire is not going to spread. There's a fire, there's something going on. Technology is here. We have to make sure that we're stopped and we stop this fire from spreading even further. I'd like to tell you what Chazal. Let's go into a little bit of a Chazal. You know, people have this idea of the Torah's look about looking at women. You know, the Torah's idea is probably something like, it's like a museum, you know, look, but don't touch. Just look, but don't touch. You know, just don't touch, but looking, all right, it's like a museum. Walk into a museum, look, but don't touch. That's what people think the halacha is. You know, as long as I don't touch, I didn't go anywhere near, I'm all right. What, I just an innocently look. That's all I did. What did I do? Come on. We'll see in Chazal, it's not that way. There's a Gemara in Baba Metzia Daf Kuf Zayin Omud Beis. The Gemara tells us that the majority of the tzoros, the majority of the problems that Klal Yisrael are experiencing now, are actually from Ayin Hora. Ayin Hora is the evil eye, evil spirit, wherever it comes from. But rave of the tzoros, rave of the problems that Klal Yisrael have is from this Ayin Hora. It's from this evil eye. In fact, the Gemara tells us over there in Bomatia Peizayin that if a person wants to save himself from the Ayin Hora, what does he do? He attaches himself to the offspring of Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik had there was no power over Yosef HaTzadik when it came to the Ayin Hora. Why? Because he watched his eyes. Say Chazal, if you want to be saved from Ayin Hora, watch your eyes. If you're careful with what you look at, you will be saved from the Ayin Hora. And 1 + 1 equals that if you're saved from the Ayin Hora, say Chazal, you won't have the tzoros and all the machlas and all the terrible things that Klal Yisrael are going through at this moment of time. The Torah tells us, let's speak about the makar. Let's speak about the actual source for this halacha. The Torah tells us, "Loisosu achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem." Tell us, Chazal, achrei neichem zuznos. And we'll see Beis Hashem. People think znos, adultery, has to be done with a maisa, with your body. No. We'll see, Beis Hashem, a person can be mezana, a person can have adultery, can do adultery with his eyes. This is something that we'll see in a moment. But Chazal tell us, and this is what the Lashon of the Torah is, don't look after your hearts and after your eyes. In order that you do all of the mitzvahs. Which is very interesting. Chazal seemed to be telling us over here that if a person wants to do all the mitzvahs, a person wants to be a good Jew, he wants to fulfill all of the Torah, how do you do that? What's the vehicle that will lead you there? Watching your eyes. So you'll remember to do all of the mitzvahs. In fact, the Chinuch writes a tremendous thing. Says the Chinuch, that if a person watches his eyes, it's a shmira that helps for kol ha-Torah kula, and a guarantee he will not do any aveira. As I state in the Chinuch, it's unbelievable. That if a person wants to make sure and have a shmira, a safeguard upon himself, that no aveira and other areas of life may be done, the first way, the first beginning is right here, by watching your eyes. Now, the question you may ask is why? Why is it that a person with his eyes can perform the worst acts and can lead to the worst things? So the explanation is as follows. Everything we have on the outside, it's possible to get to the inside, to our neshama, to our soul. Right? When we hear something, right? When we smell something, everything has a direct link into our neshama. The thinnest mechitza, the thinnest barrier that exists in our body from the outside to the inside, to our neshama, to our inside soul, is the eye. The eye, say Chazal, exactly, we're going to explain all the different reasons, but say Chazal, that the eye is the thinnest barrier from the outside world straight into the Shama. Because there's so much good that a person can see. Torah, Tefillah, everything is unbelievable. Therefore, Chazal, the Torah, the Rabboni Shalom, created our body with an eye, which is the thinnest barrier between the outside world and the inside of our neshama, our soul. When you see something that's not correct, when you see something that's not good, little do you realize it just goes straight into the neshama. Straight into the soul without any type of delays or anything. Just goes straight in there. And we'll see Be'ez Hashem what's going on over here. Chazal, the Chofetz Chaim tells us a wonderful thing. The Chofetz Chaim says, in fact, if you want to make sure that you don't have a Yetzer Hara for something, learn the halachas. So I hope Be'ez Hashem after today, or in the next coming weeks, we're going to have less of a Yetzer Hara for these things because we're actually being oisik in the halachas. I want to tell you some scary things. There's a Gemara. Again, Rabbi Yisai, no chidushim. I'm telling you what Chazal tell us. What are Chazal telling us about this? So there's a Gemara in Yuma Daf Ayin Dalad Omid Beis. Listen to this Gemara. Says the Gemara, Hamalchilchol min haMidbar leman anoyscha. We know that the Torah, the Rabbeinu Shem, gave us the mon when we were in the Midbar. Right? It was difficult. We had nothing to eat. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure we had what to eat with the mon. Right, we had this interesting food. We could dream up any flavor that we wanted, a shawarma, a pizza, a burger, whatever we wanted, that was it. But Sheikh Hazal, very interesting. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the mon? Leman anoyscha. To afflict you. To afflict you, to bother you. Now you may ask, what's the bother? What's the affliction? In fact, I think the mon is a great thing. We had nothing to eat. We had nothing what to do. So the mon came down. This was our food from Shamayim. It was unbelievable. Oh, no. Say, Chazal, leman anoyscha. The mon was given to afflict you. And the question is why? So the Gemara over there in Yuma explains a few different reasons. Reason number one is you can't compare someone that's got pas besaloi to someone that's not got pas besaloi. Meaning, if you've got your food in the fridge, so it's great. But he, Klal Yisrael, had no idea when the next food was going to come. They had no idea where their next meal was. That's difficult. That's an affliction. It's hard not to know where your next meal is. That's number one. Reason number two, says the Gemara, is because ain't a doma, you can't compare someone that sees the food to someone that doesn't see the food. The mon was a wonderful thing, and you could dream up whatever you wanted it to taste like. But it always looked the same. It looked the same, honey, sesame, whatever Chazal give us some kind of, you know, idea to what it looked like. But whatever it was, it's always looked the same. And when you look at something and it's always the same, it's just not gishmak. It's not so nice. Right, like Rashi tells us in Shabbos, why are we lighting Shabbos candles on Friday night? To see the food. Because when you see the food, it's so much nicer. That's what Chazal tells us. A blind person is never satisfied. He may eat the same as you and me, but he's not satisfied because he doesn't see the food. When you see something, it makes a connection. Say Chazal, listen to this. The Gemara brings a pasuk. The pasuk says, Toiv mare einayim mehalach nefesh. Says the pasuk, better is the sight of the eyes than the walking of the soul. What does this mean? What's pshat? Says the Gemara, you know what it means? Omar ish lokish. Pshat in the pasuk. Better is the sight of the eyes than the walking of the soul. Says the ish lokish, you know what it means? It means as follows. Better is the sight of the eye looking at a woman than the maisa itself. Better is looking at the woman in a way that you shouldn't be looking at her than the maisa itself, say Chazal. What's going on? How can that be? How can it be when I look at something, it's not correct? It's worse than the maisa itself, says Revolver, Zatzal. You know what the pshat is? Pshat is imagination. That's what it is. It's imagination. Because that's exactly what the film industry right now is doing. Imagination. You know, I once asked Obad Jabotham, what's worse, a bad movie or a bad book? They all told me the same thing, a bad book. You know why? Because a bad movie, that's what it is. Whatever you see, that's what you're going to get. But a book, the imagination runs wild. The imagination thinks what could be, what might have happened, what could have happened. Ooh, the imagination goes crazy. And you ever notice this? You go past a building site, right? You see the goyim. And you see the guy, a woman walks past, she's fierce, nothing wrong. She didn't walk around with anything problem, right? A regular skirt covering to her knee, her elbow, everything's covered. She walks past a building site, and every worker on that building site, is following her like this. Like, what are you doing? You know, she's a woman, right? She walked past you. Don't know if she has legs. You have to look at her legs. Like, what are you looking at? How did she walk past you? She didn't have legs. You know why? Because it's the imagination. You start thinking. That's what Chazal are telling us. Toiv mare naim beisha yoseh miguvah shel maisa. Which means the look that you can have can cause more damage than the maisa itself. That's scary, Abayisai. That's very, very scary. I want to tell you something else as well. When we talk about looking, by the way, let me explain. We don't mean a glance. When I happen to be looking, I look away. We look about that extra look, that extra stare, that continuous look that you didn't need to have. That's what we're talking about. And Chazal are telling us that just like a person, Mr. Sasharim and others, can be mezana with his guf, a person can cause adultery with his body, a person can cause adultery with his eyes. There's a znus be'inayim. A person can actually perform an act of adultery without even knowing about it. Which is why tshuva for this is so difficult. Because we didn't do anything wrong. What did I do already? I just looked. What's the big deal? You know something? People think something else as well. You know, I look. All right, it's finished now. All right, I'm finished. I'm gone. I was in the street before. I look. It's over. I want to tell you something very, very scary. There's a Gemara. This is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells us as follows. Again, Rabbi Yisai, Chazal. The Gemara tells us when a person is a choyla, a person's Rachmana Litzlan on his deathbed, the Malach HaMoves, right, the angel of death, stands over him. It's a Gemara. Stands over him. And the Malach HaMoves, the angel of death, is Molei Einayim, full of eyes. Interesting Gemara. What's Pshat in the Gemara? So there's some Soifa. The Chasam Sofer brings his Rebbe, Reb Nosson Adler, that explains an unbelievable explanation in this Gemara. Listen to this explanation. He explains that when a person in this world looks at something, and he looks at something he shouldn't be looking at, he looks at something in the wrong way, his eyes are looking in the wrong place, he puts something on his phone that shouldn't be on, his eyes become attached, there's a connection. There's a connection, and what that moment of time, you're creating an eye. And that eye is going on to Malach HaMoves. When a person is on his deathbed, he sees that creation. That entire creation, Molei Einayim, of all the times that you looked at. If you ever saw, said Reb Nosson Adler, a choyla, someone who's sick, who starts to shake before he dies, it's because he's looking at this creation and he knows that he created every single one of these eyes. So you may come along and say, well, that was then. It's finished. It's over. I'm all right now. Oh, no. Unless you do something about it, that eye is always going to remain over there. And you'll see that eye, and will have repercussions as well. The question is, where do we see this from? How do we know that when you look at a woman in the wrong way, that's dressed improperly, there's a connection? Where do we see that connection from? There's a Gemara in Kedushin Daf Pei. The Gemara tells us as follows. Says the Gemara, that one of the Tanoim actually laughed at people that, you know, used to do these Averis. Like, what are you doing? He used to laugh at them. Come on, what are you doing these Averis for? What are you busy with these things? And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam in Shemayim, they wanted to show him, oh no, this is a difficult thing. Don't laugh. This is a very serious, a very, very tempting Avera. And in fact, you know what happened? What happened was the Malach, right? The Satan actually dressed up as the most beautiful woman that ever came down to this world. And this beautiful woman that was really the Satan dressed up came down and started to tempt these Tanoim. As I stated, the Rabbi said, it's a Gemara in Kedushin. He tempted them until the temptation actually worked and they almost did something bad and they revealed themselves as the Satan and it showed them a lesson that they should never laugh at people who have these problems because it's a very, very big temptation. Asks the Ben Ish Chai a question. Why do you have to dress up as a woman? Like, what's pshat in that? Just a dress up a woman? What for? What do you need to do that for? Why can't you just bring down a woman? There would have been a connection there. That look that he might have done, that he did, would have made a connection. And that connection remains there. It's etched in your brain. It's in Shomayim. It's in your neshama. You can't get it out from there. And that Rabbi says something very, very serious. I want to just tell you two more things. It's a very scary Rabbeinu Yonah. It's amazing, this Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah Pirkei Avos tells us as follows on the Mishnah in Perek Hei, Hamalbim Pnei Chaveiru Barabim. If somebody embarrasses his friend in public, Ein Loi Chelek Ba'olam Haba, you don't have any portion in the world to come. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, we all know Hilchas Shabbos. We know on Shabbos there's something called an Av and there's something called a Toldah. Right? There's the Av, there's the primary Malacha, like it was done in the Mishkan. And there's the tolda, the offspring, right? The branch that comes from there that are similar. What's the difference, la halacha, between the av and the tolda? Nothing. It may theoretically be a difference, but there's no halachic difference between the av and the tolda. The same way you cannot do an av on Shabbos, you can't do a tolda on Shabbos. Same degree of issa, exactly the same. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, every single mitzvah has an av and has a tolda. Every single one. Says Rabbeinu, let's go through the big three. The big three. Avodah Zorah, serving idols. Shvichas Domim, murder. And Gilei Arayos, right? Adultery. Let's go these three. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, those big three, that's the big three, those are the others. Avodah Zorah, Gilei Arayos, Shvichas Domim, murder, adultery, right? And Avodah Zorah, worshipping idols. Those are the others. Those are the big primary ones. But there's the toldos as well. What are the toldos? So for example, we could say Avodah Zorah maybe is money nowadays. We could say that maybe Gilei Arayos, Shvichas Domim is, you know, embarrassing someone in public. It's a tolda. And it's exactly the same strength. It's the same issa. It's the same thing as the av as the tolda. Just like you do the av, it's terrible. The tolda is the same. Also, Beinu Yoina, what's the tolda of Gilei Arayos? Gilei Arayos, we understand to mean the act itself, the act of adultery. So what's the tolda? What's the tolda? Says Beinu Yoina, I'll tell you what the tolda is. Hamestakel oiledaber Yahorek va'al yavo. Not that the actual maisa you have to kill yourself for, which you do. It's one of the big three. But says Rabbeinu Yonah, just like the av you have to do that for, you have to do the same thing for the tolda. Yahorek va'al yavo. Hamestakel ulidabe ha yahorek va'al yavo. It's got the same halachas, the same stringency as doing the maisa itself as it is to look. And I want to tell you something, it brings a Gemara. How can Rabbeinu Yonah say such a thing? I mean, he brings a Gemara in Sanhedrin. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin daf Ayin Hey. This is an unbelievable Gemara, by say. Says the Gemara, there was a Maisa with a fellow that saw a woman and he fell in love with her. But he didn't just fall in love with her. He became sick with love for this woman. He just possibly became sick in love with this woman. He couldn't take it. And he went to the doctor and he said, "Doctor, heal me. What am I going to do? I'm sickly in love with this woman." The doctor said to him, Rabbi said to Gemara, I'm telling you Chazal. The doctor said to him, listen, there's only one cure for you. You're going to have to sleep with her. You're going to have to live with her. That's the only cure that you have. The only cure. So he went to his local rabbi and he said, Rabbi, a small little shayla right now, you know, koach nefesh. The doctor told me that I have to sleep with this woman, right? Koach nefesh, mitzvah, right? The Rav said to him, Yorig va'al yavo, kill yourself first before you do the maisa. So he goes back to the doctor and says, my rabbi doesn't allow me to, what should I do? So the doctor says, all right, I have another idea. Tell the woman to stand in front of you without any clothes on. She should stand in front of you with nothing. Maybe that will heal your sickness and you'll be able to continue life. You're pkoach nefesh, right? Life-threatening situation. Goes back to the rabbi. Rabbi, just a small shayla today. Small shayla, can this not... Rabbi says, Yorig va'al yavo. Kill yourself before you do the maisa. He goes back to the rabbi. He says, Rabbi, you go back to the doctor. The doctor, what am I meant to do over here? The doctor says, all right, one last eight, so maybe this will work. She should stand on the other side of the wall. She should stand on the other side of the fence and you should speak to each other. And you should speak behind the wall. Don't look at her, don't see her, but speak. He came back to his Rav and the Rav told him, Yorig va'al yavo. This is what Rabbeinu Yoin is saying. Rabbi said, this is not chasidus. I'm not giving you musa. I'm not telling you things that are for other people, that are not us. Come on, Rabbi, it's not for us. I'm telling you what Chazal are telling us. Yorig va'al yavo, we don't realize, we take this idea that looking, no, look but don't touch, it's all right, what's the big deal? Little do we realize that on the same level as the maisa itself, which none of us would dream of doing, the same level is looking at something you shouldn't be looking at as well. According to one Girus in the Gemara, she was a penuya. She was a single girl. The Gemara asked a question, why don't you just marry her? If it was so sickly in love, just marry the woman. What's the problem? You know what the Gemara tells us? Forbidden waters are a lot sweeter. It's always a lot more geschmack. It's always a lot more exciting when something is forbidden. That's why it was so exciting. I want to end Rabbi Yisai with one last thing. The Koshitz and Maggid said over a wonderful moshel. And he said, and we have to take this to heart when we're dealing with these things. There was a famous carpenter, and this carpenter spent years on making the most beautiful cabinet. And he chiseled out the most beautiful designs on this cabinet. It was absolutely gorgeous piece of art. And it finally went onto the auction to be sold. And it was sold for a tremendously high price by a very wealthy person, bought it to store all of his beautiful necklaces and diamonds and earrings that he bought for his wife. He was going to put it into his bedroom, this beautiful piece of art. And it was over there. Eventually, this fellow lost his money and it had to go. The banks came in. They took the cabinet as collateral for their loans that they weren't getting paid back. And they went on to auction. It went from auction to auction, from country to country. It got knocked over here, got chipped over there, got smashed a bit over there. Things started, didn't look exactly the way as it was. And eventually ended up in a shoe repair shop in the middle of Vienna. Schumacher. Middle of Vienna. There was this carpenter, who was fixing shoes. He needed someone to put all the straps and the little piece of leather and his nails and his hammers. So he found this cabinet, thinks this is great, nice and cheap. We'll go put it into the shop. So this famous carpenter that years before had actually designed and created this piece of furniture was once in Vienna. And his shoe broke. And he said, what do? I've got a broken shoe. So someone says to him, oh, there's a shoe repair shop down over there. So he goes over to the shop. He walks in. Lo and behold, is this beautiful cabinet, which he designed. Which when he designed it was the most beautiful piece of furniture that anyone had ever seen. And now it's smashed and it's bashed here and it's chipped over there and bent on that side. He said, what's going on with it? I designed this to be the most beautiful cabinet to house pearls and diamonds. And now what's being held over there? A bunch of rubber and some nails and some hammers. That's not what I intended, Rabbi Yisai. The Rabbi Shalom created all of us with an neshama. And housed that neshama with our guf, with our body. And we came down as a pure neshama. Such a beautiful neshama, such a beautiful body that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that was capable of housing the most beautiful things, Torah, Tefillah, Gemilas Chassadim, everything. And we come back to Shemayim after 120 years. And the Rebbeinu says, what is this? Chipped, bashed, bent, with all the things in there that shouldn't be in there. This is not what I originally designed it to be. Rabbi Yisai, let's take this to heart. Let's realize what this is. And Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll continue, and we should take Siyata Dishmaya to make sure that the Rabbeinu Shalom helps us to help our Yetzirah to become a little bit calm in this area. Be'ez Hashem, join us next week for more.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.